You know, you got to be really new to this area to not know the Turtle Creek Corral. It's been out forever. It's something, it's an organization we're really proud of because they represent the area, I don't know, sometimes all over the world. But what I didn't know is they're 45 years old. Dr. Dawson B. Taylor joined as executive director in August, although he's been with the group longer than he looks like he's been alive, right? Close to 20 years.
We'll go with that, David.
It's good to have you with us.
Oh, it's fantastic. You might appreciate a great little story is the first year that I sang with the Turtle Creek Corral was in 2006, was also the same year that our artistic director, Sean Boss, sang with the corral. So we now warn people when they join the corral, be careful because you could end up as artistic director or executive director. So we try to warn them early.
You must have been like 10 or 15 years old.
Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah, I was just out of SMU grad school. So yeah.
So talk about the corral, 45. Years.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's a unique organization.
It is.
And it's represented, you know, all over the country. Talk about the history of it. Where did it begin?
Yes. So the Turtle Creek Corral began obviously here in Dallas in 1980. There were a group of men gathered at a local bar, and they were talking about how there were these other choruses throughout the country that were getting started, primarily San Francisco, Los Angeles, and not far behind us was Kansas City. And they were talking about these groups that were getting together and singing primarily gay men's choruses, but there were women's choruses and mixed choruses. And they said, you know, a city like Dallas should also have an institution like this. And so we feel like that the Turtle Creek Corral has been a part of the Dallas fabric now for 45 years. And we're surprised by that and proud of that as well.
But it seems like 80 years ago, it was, I mean, everybody, the common thread was everybody likes to sing, but it also seemed like more of a social event too.
It was a social event, and if we're honest, it was also a social action event. If you think about 1980, this is right as HIV/AIDS is coming onto the scene. People were dying all around us, and there was a need not only for the opportunity to sing and to be a part of the art, but there was also a need to be together, to find out what this mysterious disease was around us, and also to support one another. And so one of the things that the Turtle Creek Corral is most proud of is that we are community for each other and for the greater Dallas community, as well as a premier arts organization.
And it's a massive community, too. It is. 250 singing members?
Exactly. We're actually, as of 2 weeks ago, which was just serendipitous, but in our 45th anniversary year, we received and accepted 45 new singing members. So we now have 297 registered singers in our organization. It's a phenomenal group, to say the least.
They ever all get together at one time?
If they do, we have to be really careful. But we rehearse on Tuesdays at First Presbyterian downtown. They are a gracious host to us. And it takes a sanctuary the size of First Pres to be able to host us, to have that many singers in one place.
So when you put on shows, like last year when you were at Carnegie Hall, how many people do you take with you?
We are right now, I anticipate like at Carnegie, I think we're just shy of 200. This summer when we do our Disney Pride concert at Meyerson in June, I anticipate that we'll have around 200, 225 on stage, which is, like you said, a very large group.
So what do you do for your 45th anniversary? You do anything special this year?
We're doing lots of exciting things. So in a few weeks, we're gathering at the historic Gillies to have a birthday party. We're going to welcome all of our artistic directors back. We're recognizing our lifetime members. We'll have some of our founding members. And it's going to be a great party that we're excited to share with the community and with our supporters and patrons. And then this fall in September, on September 20th, we will have our annual Rhapsody Gala with a special focus on our 45th anniversary. And stay tuned because we're about to be ready to announce the artist that will feature at Rhapsody this year.
Oh, that'll be fat. Do you have any plans to go on the road?
We are actually just announced that next year we're going to do a friendship tour. We've done one previously, and we're going to do another one next year, headed toward West Texas. We've been invited by Texas Tech and some other entities along the way. And so we're going to partner with the Austin Gay Men's Chorus and the Houston Pride Chorus and create a tour in Texas. So we're excited to be doing that.
So how do you fund yourself? Do you have fundraisers or do you charge people who sing?
Yeah, so it's actually all three. We have earned income. About 20% of our budget is earned income, ticket sales, things like that. Our volunteers actually pay to be a part of the organization. Yeah. A lot of people don't realize, but you know, not only do they sing and rehearse every week, but they pay to be a part of it. So that's a significant amount of support. And then we have tremendous donors who make this art possible. We're especially grateful this year to the Eugene McDermott Foundation, as well as Lexus for being our season sponsors.
So there must be cycles to your business. There are cycles to every business.
Right
now, everybody's worried about tariffs and inflation. And I mean, are you affected by the cycles like this?
We're definitely impacted by those economic cycles. We're also impacted by some of the changes to some of the art grants that are taking place. And so arts organizations are having to be very mindful, very particular about being guarded about that, just to see what your income looks like. My sense is that donors are holding tight to their money because of what's happening around us. But we also are experiencing that money follows mission. And so there are people who are continuing to support our work because they know the great impact that the Turtle Creek Chorale makes in our community and beyond.
Is there cash flow from, you know, you've done a lot of recordings. You used to do records back when people did records.
We're the most recorded male chorus in history.
Is that right?
It is, yep.
And do you still get residuals for that?
We do. They're small. And the other thing that's changed in that business cycle is that there's no longer the ROI on those recordings that there used to be because of the different platforms that exist. Almost anyone can record an album these days. And so it's expensive to do it the right way. And the payoffs aren't as significant as they used to be. But we still actually, every once in a while, I go to the mailbox and there's some a residual check there. And we're grateful for that.
And if we go to the directories, we'll see, you know, lots of Turtle Creek Chorale recordings that are still out there.
You will. There are, and people, it's amazing, people who still find us, in, like you said, throughout the world, who will say, oh, I on Spotify the other day, I heard this piece, and I started looking into who you are, and so it's always a privilege to receive those kinds of messages.
There have been European tours in the past, right?
There have, yes, and we are actually anticipating for our 50th anniversary in 5 years that we will take another European tour, which is always an exciting way to continue to spread the word about Turtle Creek Chorale.
All right, so what's next? When's the next time we hear
the next
at least
opportunity
a couple
to hear
voices?
Yes, exactly. The next opportunity for the Turtle Creek Chorale is this June in the Meyerson on June 26th and 27th. There may be an exciting performance just the week prior with another significant arts organization that hasn't been publicly announced yet. But hold tight because it looks like something just got added to our calendar that we're excited
about. All right, so you're leaving us with a tease.
Exactly. Watch the press. It's coming out momentarily.
Dr. Dawson Taylor is the executive director of the Turtle Creek Chorale, this year celebrating its 45th anniversary. Congratulations and our best to all.
Thanks, David. Great to be with you. And thanks to all of your listeners.
Thanks a lot. For more of our conversation, go to krld.com/CEO. David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.